This is CliffCentral.com.
Property, nigga, I'm trying to invest. Money in by the neighborhood, that's how you rent it. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling? Dumbo.
It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block.
It's
buy
time, back the hood. It's time to buy back the hood. Yes, it is buy time to buy back the hood, everybody. I am back, large and in charge. This is the one and only Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala. I know I have been missing for a couple of weeks, but I am back. And I just want to say, did you guys miss me? I hope you missed me. Gosh, so many exciting things happening at Cliff Central right now. So many people that I used to work with in my other job were here. Aria Kelman has just joined us again. O'Neill is back on a Friday. Me and Teddy are going to do big things in 2018. I've got Melissa handling things on the deck for me. Look, listen, it's major things here at Cliff Central. Remember, you can download Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala, on cliffcentral.com. We are sponsored by Rally Property. You can go to rally-mampewuleproperties.co.za for more info. If you're wondering, wait, why is it a Thursday and she's on the air? It's because we have moved people from Wednesday at 10 to Thursday at 12. What's nice is that it's drinking hour. I'm joking. What's nice is that it doesn't matter whether you're here or not, whether you're able to listen live or not. You can download us on cliffcentral.com. Remember to go to our Facebook page, Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala. Get more links to interviews, etc. I'm excited about today's show because finally this lady is in the studio after literally 3 weeks of doing this. First, I was sick. Then there was a... Ms. Togozan Kumalo, how are you?
Good afternoon, Lerato, and good afternoon to the listeners as well.
Thank you so much for coming through. That silky voice that you're hearing is the customer relations department, the customer relations manager for the EAAB. I always have to, how do you say it, Togozan?
It's EAAB in short.
Oh, EAAB.
Yes, correct.
I think it's easier than saying double A, right?
Yeah. Because it's a tongue twister.
It is a tongue twister. And that stands for the Estate Agency Affairs Board of South Africa. And you are the regulators of estate agents in the country. I think you established in 1976. So I wanted to basically chat to you about something that I read when I was reading about the EAAB, is the fact that you, as the person who's buying the property, and we'll go into renters as well, because estate agents obviously handle both, but that you have a right to ask your estate agent for a certificate. So I wanted to ask, as somebody who's bought property, I've never asked for this. Can I tell you the truth? I've never asked for it. How do I know it's legit? Why should I ask for an estate agent to show me a certificate that they have gone through your intense process and are legit?
Okay, thank you, Lerato, and thank you, you know, for asking that question. It is a very important question. A lot of people venture into property and they don't ask the most critical, important questions. As we all know, that property is the single most important valuable asset that anyone can actually own. So the first thing that you actually do if someone introduces themselves as an estate agent is to ask, are you registered with the Estate Agency Affairs Board? Mm. What is your license number? Or please produce your Fidelity Fund certificate. A Fidelity Fund certificate is a certificate that we actually issue to estate agents to actually ensure that they're actually registered. And these certificates are actually issued annually. So estate agents receive one certificate annually. So each and every year, estate agents should receive a certificate, and the registration certificate should have like a 2017 number, for example. So for next year, we are moving into 2018. So that registration certificate or license number should have a 2018 certificate. So you would then ask the estate agent, are you registered? And then the individual will say, yes, please produce your license number. And then to verify their details, you can actually go onto our website, which is www.ewab.org.za. If you've got their full names, you can actually log in and check that they're registered. And of course,
online, without having to call you guys.
That's another option which I was about to give you. So you can actually go online and then verify their details. For example, if the individual is Nosipho Longwe, you'd put in their details online, and with the details of the firm, you know, that they're working for, or the agency that they're actually working for, then it will actually give you the details. If Nosipho Longwe is actually registered under, you know, Riley Properties, then you actually have this comfort that this person that you're dealing with you is actually does have the expert advice that relates, you know, to the property transaction. You don't want to be dealing with a bogus, you know, estate agent, because there's money transfers that are actually involved in the entire process.
Yeah. So I was going to ask, is Nosipho Longwe somebody you've made up while they're real?
Yes, it is. It's a pseudonym.
I was like, if she does exist, she's going to be like, hey. And I know that the contact number for finding out for the Fidelity Fund certificate is 087-285-3222.
Okay, that is actually
our
call center
number. Call center to check for that.
Where if you don't have, you know, internet services in terms of our website, you can actually phone our contacts, a call center number to verify if that individual is actually registered with us, and they'll actually give you the, you know, the details if that person is actually issued with the current Fidelity Fund certificate, you know.
So I want to ask the first thing, why is it issued annually? Why don't you get one like a driver's license for a year? I mean, for 5 years or whatever. Why do you constantly have to renew it?
Okay, remember, this is a regulatory framework. This is not necessarily a road traffic regulations. We constantly need to ensure that this person has the required standard of training, you know, because over time, the number of changes are actually actually happening in the property industry in terms of development. If we need to introduce any, you know, professional designation, exams and information, those people need to be fully equipped to rise up to the challenges of the property industry.
Yes.
So as such, you constantly need to monitor them. Because if, for example, someone is buying a 5 million, you know, rents property, and the estate agent actually messes up the deal, who do you report to? And if we don't have control by monitoring for the individual to come back and register with us, then it also creates a problem. And another reason for that is the other monitoring part is for us to ensure that estate agents are not misappropriating trust funds.
Okay.
So annually they submit their annual returns to us, and we actually check that they're not misappropriating or stealing monies from clients. So you cannot monitor that if they're renewing, you know, in 5 years' time. So you need to do it annually.
So I wanted to ask you, it's awkward to say to somebody, they say, oh, I'm an estate agent. And you're like, yeah, okay, no super long way. Please, can I see your certificate? Because people are thinking, well, if she says she is, then she is. How early in the process do I ask as somebody who's who's about to rent a property or buy a property? How early in the process do I say, hey, sorry, can I get your certificate? Or are they automatically meant to send it to me so I don't have to go through the awkward thing of saying, like, I don't trust them? How do you navigate that kind of situation?
I think it's because we have not been out there generally as the Estate Agency Affairs Board. However, if an estate agent is dealing with you, is referred by any other person, immediately they're supposed to, you know, produce the certificate to you. Alternatively, you can ask. There's nothing awkward about it. As I've indicated, this is the single most important transaction that you'll be, you know, dealing with. And there are far more legal implications just in case if the deal doesn't, you know, go, you know, well for you. So as such, I don't think, you know, consumers, it's, I mean, it's, you know, taking it back to the Consumer Protection Act, it is quite important that you actually find out who you're dealing with, you know, because you could be dealing with, you know, a person who's pretending to be an estate agent. So initially, when you want to rent out your property, if you want to buy property, ask that person, are you actually registered, you know? And if you still don't trust them, call us or go onto our website to find out more information.
I think that is at the heart of this, is that the whole reason that I wanted to do the show is because people are constantly being told to buy property, and it's such an empowering thing for you, but it's also an incredibly intimidating thing for people to do, because you see that 40 stack of papers and you think, oh my gosh, 30 years of my life spent paying for this. And I think people just feel like, oh, I can't. But people like you are here to make people's lives much easier. For somebody who's listening for the first time, what does the Estate Agency Affairs Board do? I mean, if I were to think, what do you do? You know, you're the customer relations manager, but what does the EAAB do?
Okay. Our offices firstly indicate that we contribute to the GDP.
Okay.
So we have a very important role to play. So the first thing that we do, we issue certificates to estate agents to ensure that they're actually compliant with us. We set educational requirements, you know, for estate agents, because they need to be professionally, you know, and academically equipped to deal with property transactions. Thirdly, we also have a fidelity fund where if an estate agent has misappropriated or stolen trust monies from a client, the client can actually claim from the fund, from those, you know, stolen or misappropriated funds. And we also conduct inspections.
Oh, so if, for instance, I didn't ask for the certificate and the person's not legit, I'm not eligible to claim back, should there have been a misappropriation of the funds.
Okay. At this
The case?
At this point in time, whether or not the person does have a fidelity fund certificate, you can actually, you know, claim. But we are changing our legislation. But of course, you'll have to prove, you know, certain facts or circumstances.
Right.
There must be, you know, an offer to purchase. There must be, you know, a deposit where that, you know, money was actually place into that, you know, fraudulent estate agent. So we'd need certain information before we can actually pay out the claim. And you'll also need to report the matter to the SAPS as well. So there are a number of requirements in terms of our act that you'll have to prove before the claim is actually paid.
I see. Sorry, I interrupted you. You were mentioning the fourth point. You had mentioned that there needed to be an offer to purchase, that you needed to have a deposit that shows that you put money into that estate agent, and obviously you mentioned so I was just trying to get through your points and then I cut you. So there was a fourth one that you were going to mention.
Those would be generally the preliminary ones. Okay. When you know, depending whether it's a sale or a lease.
Okay.
You know, and depending, in certain instances, other people don't deal with, you know, residential properties. They're dealing with, you know, other
sort of commercial,
you know, buildings. So those type of agreements, that's what we'll require from the claimant to say, okay, fine, give us this information. Who was this person? Who did you pay the account into? And this person, did this person purport to be an estate agent, you know, because there's always a difference between a developer and an estate agent. People have the confusion between the two. You know, estate agents sell properties on behalf of someone else. Developers actually own the property, they develop it, and then they give the instructions to estate agents to sell, to market on their behalf. So there'll be certain preliminary questions that we'll ask just for us to make sure that this person is actually not an estate agent.
And not a developer.
So yes, there'll be, you know, a few stringent requirements that we'll have to, you know, check before we actually pay out the claim.
Ah.
Yes.
You see, I didn't even know all of that. I didn't even know that I could claim should something happen at the beginning of buying a property. So there's a guideline that you send out. And one of the first things you say a person must do is find out if the estate agent is registered. That
Correct.
Is the first thing that you say the person must find out. So why is that important? Okay, maybe let's start there. 'Cause I think you've answered in terms of why they need a certificate to prove that they do what they do. Mm. But e-registration, I think for me, for a lot of people, if they produce something from a certificate from 2015 and they say, no, but I'm still registered now, how can I prove that they, you know, and I think this is designed for me as the customer, which is why I'm sort of being elementary with my questions. But I would assume that if somebody says, no, it's not annual. Where do you, did you hear it on Cliff Central? No. You can still operate as an estate agent from 2015's registration. Is that the case?
Do you know what? In most instances, it's usually bogus estate agents who would say that to you. That any, you know, properly regulated estate agent would not do that, because annually you're supposed to renew your certificate. And another thing is that you could be dealing with an intern, for example, someone who's not properly qualified, and this is a 10 million rand deal, and if it goes wrong, who do you go and complain to? So you'd rather do the preliminary checks, you know, with us and make sure, is this person purporting to be this person that he says he is? Mm. Is he a principal estate agent? Is he an intern? Is he a full status estate agent? That is the type of information that will provide to you, you know, general advice, because you'll say to us, do you know what, I'm intending to buy this, you know, this building, and I just want to make sure if this person is actually a principal estate agent, because there are a lot of implications should the deal go wrong, and then be able to provide you and guide you. But if you just, you know, accept what the person is saying without verifying the information, there's a higher risk that you may face at the end of the day.
If you're wondering who's talking right now, we're talking to Ms. Thokozani Khumalo. By the way, do you have a lot of people who say to you, Thokozani, that's your boy's name?
I get that all the time. I start rolling my eyes. Don't worry, at the office they call me TK. So.
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised. I'm a Lerato speaks isiZulu, and every time people say to me, how come? So I was looking at it and I noticed that your signature says Miss.
I had to.
You had to, yeah.
Yeah.
So like, can I speak to Mr. Thokozani? I can imagine Thokozani Khumalo is the customer relations manager at the EAAB. So, by the way, you can get this podcast. We are live and direct from Clip Central, but you can download this podcast as soon as at 1 o'clock we're out of here. You can download it on clipcentral.com. Don't forget to go and visit our Facebook page, Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala, where you can get previous podcasts, see pictures of us in the studio, including Thokozani right now. And I just want to remind you once again that this podcast is brought to you by Rali Mampewule Properties. You can go to Rali-Mampewule.co.za for more info. In fact, I need to get Rali here into the studio so he can teach us one more time before we close off for the year why you don't need money to make money in property. I wanted to ask about the difference between renting when you are approaching an estate agent for rental purposes and for buying purposes. Are the rules the same, or are there certain things that tenants must look out for that are different to the things that an owner must look for, a buyer, excuse me?
Okay. With rentals, the most important thing is you have to look at the duration of the lease agreement.
Okay. You know? And if I remember correctly, after reading your documents, it can't be longer than 24 months unless it is stipulated in some way. There's an agreement between you and the landlord that it's longer than 24 months.
That is correct.
Okay.
So ideally, you know, most people, you know, they're quick to say, I need, you know, property to stay. And they just sign the agreement without checking the, you know, the length of that agreement. And when it comes, let's say, for example, you are renovating another house and you just want a lease for that period in time. Because you're in this stage, you just sign. And when there's a problem now, you want to cancel the lease, the landlord says there are penalty fees that you must pay. You know, or the estate agent who was involved in the transaction.
Which happens a lot to people. I've heard a lot of people that have to pay penalties.
Correct. Hence, in most instances, before you sign the lease agreement, you need to check the duration of the agreement. You need to check the clauses. For example, if there's breach of contract, you know, if I'm unable to pay the rental, for example, what are the implications? For example, if there are damages in the lease property, what are my rights as a tenant, you know, towards the lessor? Because remember that the agreement is between the lessee and the lessor, meaning the the owner and yourself. Mm. The agreement is never between you and the estate agent. Mm. The estate agent is merely the middleman. So sometimes there is usually confusion when there's damages in the property where, you know, the tenant says you must fix this. So you must understand those obligations in terms of the lease agreement. Mm. And once you are happy with those conditions, as well as the escalation for the rental,
okay,
you know, in certain instances, the escalation may be 10%. In other instances, it may be more, because remember, it's not regulated anywhere. So those are some of the critical important aspects.
So just drop it down for me. Look, when you say the escalation for the rental, what do you mean in layman's terms?
Okay, I mean annually. Let's say it's a 24-month contract. Annually, the landlord may say after 12 months the rent will increase by 10%. You know, you need to check that into the agreement, and if you are not happy with that, you can negotiate or inform the estate agent saying to say, do you know what, I will not be able to after 12 months to be able to afford this. You know, 10% is actually too much for me. Why don't we increase it by 5%? But most people don't look at the finite details of the agreement.
I can tell you now that as somebody who has rented before and got loads of friends who rent, I have never looked at that bit.
Yeah,
I have never thought how much you think about it in other instances, like when you get there are instances where it's easy to see how, like when you get a policy, let me make an example with a policy, you know that okay, there's a 5% increase over X amount of time. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you most people are really not looking for the escalation period. They just think, oh, I got a place to stay now.
Yeah.
Once you've signed, there's obviously nothing you can do, which is why it's important for you to be able to change,
yes,
that before you sign.
This is the reason why you have the estate agent, to negotiate on your behalf,
okay,
to provide you with that expert advice, to ask the questions. Even if you sound nagging, it's important, because at the end of the day, when you get sued, you know, by the landlord for the outstanding rental, it's not going to be nice.
Mm.
So you're nagging the estate agent, to their job, it's their function.
Yeah.
To assist you.
Yeah.
Explain. You know, also to find out, because most people don't even know who's the owner of this property. You know, say for example, because in most instances the deposit is actually paid
to the estate agent.
In certain instances, the landlord will say, "I would rather keep the deposit into my account." You know, it's allowed, and you find the landlord disappearing. Now you need your deposit back. The lease has expired, and you don't even know this person that you're dealing with. The lease agreement does not even have the full details of the landlord. Now, if you have to sue that person without proper details, where do you start?
What kind of details need to be? I mean, like, is it their phone number and their name? Like, what further details do you need for the owner of the property that you're renting?
Usually, it will be their full names, okay, their ID number, their address, and of course their telephone number and address, you know. And if you've got the postal and the physical address, that is also important. Because in most instances, the lease agreement is like almost like a two-page. It only says, for example, the tenant being Lerato Shabalala, the owner being, I don't know, Sipho Gumede. That's the only thing. No further details, just in case if there are problems. You know, we're all excited to move to a new place, but we don't check the finite details. Mm. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that's really interesting for people who are renting. And we'll go back more into that kind of mechanic for people who are renting. And then if you are a buyer, how do you assist buyers or homeowners, whether they're first time or not, is the EAAB?
For us, we actually report to the Department of Human Settlements,
okay,
as the Estate Agency Affairs Board, because we are a government entity. So for the low income, you know, earners, there's a FLIPS program, for example, where people who cannot afford, you know, property at a certain level, where they're usually government subsidies, where the government actually comes in to assist those individuals who don't meet a certain requirement or amount of money.
Mm.
But that information, obviously, you when you contact the estate agent, you then inform us that, to indicate that I'm interested in this property, what, you know, FLIPS programs do you have so that I can actually qualify for a property and I can actually get into the stream of participating in the property industry.
Mm.
Because as a regulatory regulatory body, we're also trying to get a lot of, you know, previously disadvantaged individuals to get into the stream of, you know, the property industry where previously they were not there. And also for people who've previously got RDP houses, you know, as they previously called them,
yes,
to understand the value of that property, to say, if, for example, after that 8-year period, if they want to sell.
So that is what I was going to get to, because somebody said to me about 2 weeks ago, please can you answer on your show whether people are allowed to sell RDP properties? And I was like, well, I don't think so, but let me check, because it's a government. So thank you for bringing this up so that I can answer it with authority.
Yes. So what usually happens is that all those government properties that are given by the government, by the Department of Human Settlements, you, after 8 years, you may, you know, allowed, you're actually allowed to sell the property. But what we're trying to do with the Department of Human Settlements is say people must know the value of their property before they sell, because what you find is that properties are actually undervalued in the townships. People are selling properties for 10,000 rands. I'm making an example, you know, where the property is worth, let's just say, 300 or 200,000. They don't know the value of the property, and they sell the property using, you know, they just complete an affidavit to say, you know, I, Lerato, you know, Shabalala, is selling my property to, you know, Sipo next door. Whereas they don't know that that property needs to go through a transfer process, you know, from one party to the other. And also that you also need to involve an estate agent in your area, because there are, you know, estate agents in the townships as well who can value the property and say, now the property is valued at 300,000. This is the value of the property. Most properties which are sold in those areas are undervalued and are sold for less. So after 8 years, you are allowed to sell the property.
So within that 8 years, am I allowed to rent it to other people?
Yes, you may. You may rent it, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So why 8 years? Is there a reason why I need to be in an RDP house for 8 years before I can sell it? And is it binding? Is it like I have to sign before that I can't sell it? Why the 8 years?
When the property is actually handed over to, or, you know, given to the individual, there are obviously conditions that are provided. Remember, this is a property that has been given to you. And in order for the government to regulate the supply and demand of property, because there's a huge number of requests for properties. Now, if we are going to say in 3 years' time you're going to resell, those people are going to be back on the list. So you need to manage that process as well. It's also for planning purposes, to say, for example, in Gauteng, if the Department of Human Settlement is planning to build certain properties, do we have enough land?
Okay.
You know? Do you have enough
the
budget?
Land issue.
Yeah.
We won't go into the land issue. I'm talking to the customer relations manager at the EAAV, Ms. Tokozani Kumar. Hashtag bring back our land. No, I'm joking. There's so much more information. There's so many other things that we need to talk about. But if you're thinking, whether you have questions about RDP houses or what kind of information you need from an estate agent, remember, you can go to www.eaab.org.za or call them on 087-285-3222 to get any kind of information that you need. Like I said, because I'm not going to go into the bring back our land and land issues. So I have different touch points that I want to get into. Part of your mandate as an organization is training. And I know I've interviewed several people over the past couple of months on the show who were housewives, who then became estate agents and then business owners. Some people have great stories. I wanted to ask you, what kind of qualifications do you need to be able to be an estate agent, and then to qualify also for the other programs, the training programs that you have that people can get into? Because what I'm very wary of doing is only talking about buyers, and because there are people who are listening to this who want to be estate agents, who possibly want to change their careers, and you could be very helpful in helping them understand what kind of training they need. And remember, you can download this podcast, even though we're live and direct from Clip Central, you can download at cliffcentral.com and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Like I usually say, whether you're in Lagos or New York, you can still download us or go to Riley Mampawile Riley-Mampawile Properties, and you'll learn more about the man, us, what we do. But yes, Tokozani, my question is about training and being an estate agent.
Okay. Thank you for that question. Quite a very important question.
Yeah, because I think, you know, I was looking through the things that you do, I think it's critical for people. It's not a job. People don't go to school and think, I want to be an estate agent. I don't remember being in class one time and somebody saying they want to be an estate agent. But it can be an incredibly lucrative. I mean, Riley, who sponsors the show, started off working for Chess Everett.
Yeah.
And he went from being an estate agent to now... a multimillionaire.
Yeah, I know he is.
Yeah. I mean, believe me, we all want to see his account. Not maybe see it, but have it, you know.
Couple of have zeros. Those zeros.
exactly, girl, you are with me.
Yeah.
So maybe let's talk about what minimum qualifications you need and how you can help as an organization.
Okay. The first thing is that, you know, as the Estate Agency Affairs Board, we want to make it a profession of choice. Previously, people who decided, you know, they were housewives, they decided, I'm going to become an estate agent, you know. So now we're trying to professionalize it, to make it an industry that is, you know, people are deciding because of a choice, not because it's like a last resort.
Yeah, I need extra money and I don't know what else to do, so I'm going to do this.
Exactly. Previously, it was that, you know, people were retired, you know, people were not too sure what they wanted to do in life. They decided, you know what, let me become an estate agent. So we, you know, slowly changing that.
Yeah.
It's a profession of choice.
Yeah.
Meaning that now, in terms of the, you know, educational requirements, we require individuals to undergo training for 12 months. You don't necessarily need to have a matric certificate, but if you do have, it's okay. You go train.
Oh, really?
Yeah, even if you don't have a matric certificate, but remember that there will be certain exams that you need to write.
No, of course,
so you're
no,
not
of course.
Off the hook yet.
No. Yeah. But I mean, I think it's quite essential historically, a country like ours, where people did not have money. And in fact, let me be direct. Black people were excluded from the economy, and they're not giving proper education, whether those people are our mother's generation or our generation. And so what I like about that is that it doesn't discount poverty. I think it's very, very dangerous for countries not to look at an entire society in its totality. And the fact that there's somebody who's listening to this who may be proficient in English, who reads, who went up until, sorry, I'm that old, standard 8, but grade, the what is it, 10?
Grade 10.
So there we go. still has a chance. And
correct,
we need to give people the feeling that they still have a chance. So while it's not a requirement, you will go through rigorous tests, yeah, yes, as you say.
Yes. So that individual will have to, you know, it's an individual with a grade 11, making an example.
Yeah.
Say, do you know what, I'm actually interested in the property industry. What is it that I actually need to do? The person will obviously, you know, find an estate agency that they need to work under for training for 12 months. From that training, they then write their exams and they then submit a logbook, because we actually need to view and actually see what they were actually doing in that 12 months. Hopefully they were not serving tea, but they were actually going through the contracts and actually understanding the, you know, the property industry, so that one day when they're fully fledged, you know, estate agents, they're able to provide that advice, and one day they become like, you know, our current sponsor, you know, one day.
Yes, yeah. Yes, exactly. With the 0000s.
Of course.
Yeah.
So generally it will be that. And what, you know, the Estate Agency Affairs Board with the Department of Human Settlement has done is that they've introduced a one learner, one estate agency youth program, where from previously disadvantaged individuals, they're actually placed with, you know, estate agencies. So one estate agency would take, you know, a previously disadvantaged individual to train them for that 12 months, and there would be a stipend for that person, because we obviously understand the issues relating to transport costs and other things during that, you know, period of your training. So in addition to say, okay, these other ordinary individuals who want to join in the industry, we've also said, okay, fine, for previously disadvantaged individuals, we'll also introduce a One Learner, One Youth Estate Agency program, where they're actually placed under a principal estate agent who's been, you know, experienced enough in the industry to show them the ropes and assist them. And a certain stipend is actually paid to them so that in the 12 months, they're actually not frustrated and say, you know, this is not for me, you know, because you need a lot of patience. You must understand that a lot of, you know, estate agents are actually paid through commission. So it's not as easy as people look at it. But once you're actually in it, and remember that once you're in your 12 months internship, there are different roles that you may play. Other estate agents are actually managing agents that actually manage complex, you know, where you don't necessarily pay necessarily on a commission, yep, but you paid administration fees. So if you're managing over 200, let's say 40 units, that's a lot of money. Other estate agents might venture into in selling properties.
Yeah.
You know, others might venture into...
So it just all depends,
yeah,
on...
Yeah, it just depends. But what we've actually done is that in order for us to increase, especially the number of previously disadvantaged individuals, is to have a youth program for previously disadvantaged. Because if you look at the numbers of estate agents that we have, you know, the color is just...
Yes. So I know the transformation is one of your mandates.
Correct.
So I wanted to ask, I wanted to go back to something that you said previously. You say you, not only is it 12 months, but then you get to sort of shadow at an existing estate agency. Do you help that person get that learnership, as it were? Or do they have to go and find, I don't want to name drop, but if I want to go to Pam Golding, would I have to do it? Or do you guys assist in pairing up the right individual during that training with an estate agent that fits them?
Okay. Of course, we know it, especially with the previously disadvantaged in the One Learner Youth Estate Agency. Mm. We have to pair up based on your area, you know, and yeah, so that it's also easy for the individual so that they don't get frustrated.
Yeah, because you're not going from somewhere to the center and then having to wake up at the crack of dawn.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, we need to also assess that individual or principal estate agent in Soweto. Is that estate agent, you know, successful in their sales? You know, will they be providing, you know, enough support to that individual? Are they experienced enough? And are they also busy? There's no point for us to pay someone with an estate agent that is actually selling one property a year.
Mm.
So there are a number of factors that we actually look at.
Okay.
Yeah, and say, okay, fine, this person is actually better placed in this area because this estate agent has a number of deals that they've concluded, you know, during the year. They also deal with leases. They deal with, you know, these different types of, you know, commercial contracts. So it will definitely help the intern.
I see. Okay, I'm glad I asked that because I mean, there's no way I would have known that. Now, also in South Africa, youth goes up until 34. we thank Peter Mokaba for that. May his soul rest in peace. So, what is the cutoff for the One Learner, One Estate Agent program? When you say it's for youth, like what are the age restrictions like? You know, because I think sometimes we need to be very careful because people never know how far or...
I think you're quite correct. We've limited it, I think, up until 34 as well, based on the current standards that provided in the country.
Like I say, I made it onto the Mandela Washington Fellowship and found myself overseas because I just made it.
Lucky you. So for some of us, well, 35 is a problem.
I know. Well, no, I'm no longer there. I'm very long in the tooth. Let me tell you. You are listening to me, Lerato Shabala, on CliffCentral.com. This is Living It Up. We are on. This is our new time slot from 12 until 1 every Thursday. But worry not. You don't have to be chained to your desk or your office. You can move around because you can download us as soon as we're done at 1 o'clock. You will be able to download us. Just go to CliffCentral.com to get this podcast. I am today talking to the EAAB's customer relations manager, Miss Chokozani Kumalo. Remember that the show is sponsored by Rally Mampewule Properties. You can go to rally-mampewule.co.za for more information. And now, before we close, we get to the last and the most prickly part of estate agents: commission. I read somewhere in your documents that said you shouldn't be coerced into agreeing on something. How do you handle that as a customer when you know that they need the commission? So they want you to buy the house. I mean, I have experience when my best friend Jill was buying property. She said to me, "I think you should go because this guy keeps telling me to buy." And I was like, "This is not right. This is not right." I'm very exacting, you know. I have no problems with saying no. This doesn't suit me. How do us as customers tap into that?
Okay. I think,
or how do you advise us as a board to handle things like that?
Okay, I would just give a general, I think, statement when it comes to that.
Okay.
Because, you know, commission is actually not regulated in terms of our act, and the minister has not set any tariffs with regard to commission. So that's why there's an open-ended provision when it comes to commission, where certain estate agents will charge you 5%, others 2%, others 8%, others 10%, for example.
Mm.
So it is important that you actually negotiate. Don't worry if someone is actually pestering you around.
Mm.
It is your, you know, right as a consumer to say, you know what, I'm not happy with this 5%. Because it's not regulated. The person cannot say, this is what we're charging. You know, it's your obligation as a consumer to say, but the tariffs are actually not regulated. Even the Department of Human Settlements, being the minister, has not set the tariffs. So this 8% that you know are living to, you know, this agreement, I don't agree with it. I would rather go with 5. And if you are to negotiate with the state agents, they'll definitely go down. Because remember that 8% or 5% does go into the entire transaction of your property deal.
Mm.
And you are going to pay for it.
Mm.
You might not see it now, but you are going to pay for it long term.
Mm.
So it is important. I know estate agents will say, you know what, the buyer wants to cancel, there's another buyer. No, hang on. You know, remember that this is an agreement where you make counter offers.
Yes.
This is not some, you know, sole agreement where dictatorship, where someone says, this is it.
Yeah, you're not buying a shirt from Zara.
Thank you.
It's not a flat price.
Thank you. And I'm sure if you were to discuss certain issues at Zara, they will also provide
exactly.
discounts.
Exactly.
I've done it, you know, once or twice.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that this is not some form of unilateral agreement where a person imposes, you know, a certain fee. And remember that they are never part of the agreement. The agreement is between you and the seller. Mm. So if you remember that usually it's the seller that actually pays the commission.
Mm.
But if you see that this commission is actually 8% and you're not happy with it, because at the end of the day, it affects the total sell price of the property.
Yes.
You have a right to say, no, I'm not in agreement. I am happy to buy the property, but this is the issue that I need us to discuss. And this tariff is actually not regulated and it's negotiable.
That is something so good to know. Thank you so much. That was Ms. Togo Zane Khumalo, the Customer Relations Manager at the EAAB, which is the Estate Agency Affairs Board. They are a regulatory board for all estate agents in South Africa. You can go to www.eaab.org.za to find out more information about everything we spoke about today, or you can give them a ring for any other questions. It's 0872853222. And if people wanted to get a hold of you directly, or is there an email address? Yours?
All right. There's another email address,
okay.
A general email address that we use for general queries, which is eab@eab.org.za. I know it's a tongue twister again, but I'll repeat.
Yes.
eab@eaab.org.za.
Okay.
This is where you send all your general queries, you know, regarding any related issue that relates to us, then we'll be able to assist.
Fantastic. You can download this podcast as soon as we're done on cliffcentral.com. Please don't forget to go to our Facebook page and interact with us. Tell us what you thought of the show. It's Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala, live and direct every single Thursday from 12 until 1 starting this weekend. Do not forget, the man who said you don't need money to make money in property is the man who sponsors this show, the one and only Rali Mambewule. Me and him did an interview with Gareth Cliff, which you can download as well. And guys, I'll catch you next week. And what I will tell you though, I'm going to tell you this before I go, because I got to go. I got 3 minutes. Well, 2 before Palisa kills me. Is that next year, I'm going to like switch things up for you guys, ne? So look forward to some things. But for now, we're still talking property. I will see you next week. Thank you for a wonderful time, and thank you for coming through and helping us. So you may have a good day.
Thank you so much for the opportunity as well. And also, you know, it's also good for us to publicize, you know, ourselves so that people know we're out there to help them.
Yes.
Because we're actually here for the public interest.
Catch you next week, guys, when we buy back the property. Buy back the hood.
Property. Nigga, I'm trying to invest. Money in by the neighborhood. That's how you rinse it. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling, Dumbo.
It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. Buy back the hood. I'm about to buy back the hood. Buy back the hood.
This is CliffCentral.com.